The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. Today, no war has been declared. And however fierce the struggle may be, it may never be declared in the traditional fashion. Our way of life is under attack. Those who make themselves our enemy are advancing around the globe. The survival of our friends is in danger. And yet no war has been declared. No borders have been crossed by marching troops. No missiles have been fired. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no rumor is printed, no secret is revealed.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Tuesday, February 7th, 2023 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. And it is a wild and dystopic ride. There is an alchemical transformation at work, and we are all watching it unfold right before our very eyes. We're even being encouraged to participate in it in a variety of ways. But I want to return to it's Black History Month, perhaps you've heard, and I want to return to the subject of the fraternal networks and particularly Prince Hall Masonry and some of the fraternities that are also kind of that are affiliated, you might say. And I'm going to say it again. If you are a Prince Hall Mason, then you might as well consider yourself the House Negro that Malcolm X talked about. You are working, for those who talk about my people and so on and so on, you're actually doing your master's business and his work diligently. And your master in this sense is not who most people would presume. It's that chief commander that Bob Dylan was talking about in that, 2004 interview with Ed Bradley? That's who your master is. And that's an unfortunate turn of events. And so to those folks, I pray that you would repent of that. And, you know, I think many folks find themselves in deep water, not realizing that, you know, this wasn't really what I signed on for, maybe. And bad things happen. And I just pray that those who find themselves in those kinds of circumstances and who have made those Faustian bargains, I pray that you would repent of that bad thing. It's interesting, you know, speaking of all of that, the irony is that you know, these orders, and again, I agree with Spencer Smith when he says that no more evil words have ever been spoken by man than making good men better. This is an interesting concept. If you read Romans chapter 2, for example, therefore you have no excuse. I mean, you read chapter 1, it sounds like America these days. Therefore you have no excuse, every one of you, who passes judgment, for in that which you judge another, you condemn yourself, the condemnation of the moralist. For you who judge practice the same things, and we know that the judgment of God rightly falls upon those who practice such things. But do you suppose this, O man, when you pass judgment on those who practice such things and do the same yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? And you see that demonstrated in places like Romans 5:8. But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each person according to his deeds. To those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth but unrighteousness, wrath and indignation. This is an irony, because for those who believe they're doing good, you know, you're involved in an organization that has as its motto making good men better. I mean, what's not honorable and noble about that? But you know what? The further along you go and the higher up you rise in these organizations, the more you realize there's more here than meets the eye. There's more here than most folks are let, more than is let on. Certainly initially, you're beguiled in a sense. And who would do that? You know, is there a character and workers of wrath and iniquity in places like 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15, that might do something like that, that might portray himself or themselves as something noble, something shiny and polished and virtuous, when in reality it's quite the opposite. So it's a painful irony, and for those who find themselves in that situation, I pray that they would repent, and you're not in further than God can reach, that's for sure. And I pray that he ransoms you out just like he does everybody else. You know, he's the one who pays the price. So it's a price we cannot pay. So I think we'll start there. But the subject of these fraternal orders is interesting. It really kind of escapes the general public, but you know, there are networks all around us, and how do you establish who's who in the zoo? How do you know who, you know, if you're doing these dark things in secret? You know, we played the clip of Whitney Webb on Russell Brand's podcast yesterday. How do these people know who's pulling the strings? How do you know who's going to be loyal and who's not? And ultimately what is happening is there's an intelligence network. You get hints of it in Francis Bacon, the days of John Dee and Francis Bacon, when, for example, Bacon is talking about a society that would see all and be seen by none. We see echoes of it in DARPA's Total Information Awareness Project. And sure, it went away, perhaps, but I mean, it's in full force and effect now with things like social media and all these devices. Essentially, it accomplishes the same thing. You don't need an organization like that. In fact, better that you don't have one, because no neck to grab. But all of the technology collectively offers the same power. And what is that power? It's the power to counterfeit God's omniscience and omnipresence. Because through technological ubiquity, you can be in all places and at all times, in effect. You can hear all things and see all things. You can monitor all things. It's a counterfeit of God's omniscience. That's what it is. And there's more. You know, ultimately, where all this technology is headed is, it's not just transhumanism, posthumanism, and the singularity. The purpose of the singularity, in simple terms, is that, you know, first, God destroyed the world with water, obviously. You know, there was the flood that you read about in Genesis. But Peter reminds us that the next time will not be by water, but by fire, a very hot fire. And so he's in 2 Peter chapter 3, says, so this is now, beloved, the second letter I'm writing, et cetera, et cetera. I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder that you should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles. Know this, first of all. You know, this isn't new. This isn't new news. This is old news. But remember, know this, first of all, that in the last days, mockers will come with their mocking. This is, I would say, in keeping with Psalm 2, basically. They'll do that. Or, you know, going back to the days of Lot. Genesis 19, I believe, right? Where the angels show up and then the whole town comes out. This is where America is headed. If you want a terrifying picture of where America is being led, steered, it's that picture. It's Genesis 19. I'll just give you an example. You know, with all of this pronoun stuff and you need to be tolerant and acceptant, the cultural Marxists knew it. They were working for the total depravity of man as a means of destruction, but under the specious guise that somehow this would be the salvation and redemption of man. It's a very Gnostic, alchemical sort of concept, but that's where we're being driven. So this is where America is being led, with all of this immorality and depravity. You have in Genesis chapter 18, the three men turned away from there and went toward Sodom. Then the men, there were the two, turned away and went toward Sodom while Abraham was still standing before the Lord. So there were the three, and now the two depart and go to Sodom, where Lot is. Two angels arrive. Lot basically says, guys, come, you know, hang out in my house. It's getting late. It's kind of what is the movies, Dusk Till Dawn movies? It's that kind of a setting, it seems. It's very eerie. You get a sense of foreboding, I think. Verse 3, yet he urged them strongly, so they turned aside to him. They said, nah, we're gonna spend the night. No, we'll spend the night in the square. Yet Lot urged them strongly. So they turned aside to him and entered his house, and he prepared a feast for them and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, surrounded the house, both young and old, all the people from every quarter. I mean, it's a zombie apocalypse. And they called to Lot and said to him, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may have relations with them. I don't know about you, but that just is pure evil in my view. It's really, this zombie apocalypse forms around Lot's house and says, bring these guys out because, well, I don't think it's even appropriate to say on radio, but you get the idea. So these are the kinds of people when Peter says, know this, first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water. These are things that even Manly P. Hall knows. Through which the world at the time was destroyed, being flooded by water, Genesis 7. But by his word, this is incredible. You know, Proverbs tells us that in the tongue, the life and death are in the power of the tongue. It's not the power of life and death. It's life and death are in the power of the tongue. It's amazing. His word, and man has that power, which is why when you read, for example, from Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars, the realization that these people operate on, there's so much persuasion and influence that is used. That's why the think tanks, that's why academia. One of the best examples is that adage that has been quoted. It was West Wing, right? In our society, we unconsciously equate size with importance and even power. Salvatore Natoli, in one of the West Wing episodes. And similarly, if you project power, then the implication is that people will go along with it, basically, generally speaking, especially if you can groom people to think that way and behave that way. And you see evidence of that in things like Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars. So anyway, continuing, but by his word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. Skipping ahead, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat. That's hot. And that's what the singularity is about in simple terms. It is this alchemical, Kabbalistic notion. You know, this is what the discipline of theoretical physics is all about, in a sense. Is information separate from matter and therefore time and space? And in that sense, can we separate our consciousness and escape the fiery judgment? Is that possible? Answer is no, of course, but that's the big modus operandi behind the singularity. Stick around, we'll be right back.
For the first time since its inception, RBN is offering a limited opportunity to you, the listener, to join our quest. You will be provided an effective platform on both internet and satellite broadcasting, and also gain the opportunity to both share your creativity with our producers and voice your message with thousands of patriots. Interested? Call 800-724-2719, extension 3, for details.
The first Oath Keepers trial over January 6th is over. What happened? I'm Peter Serafine with this week's Liberty Minute, brought to you by Dr. Zelenko's Z-Stack. Use code LIGHTHOUSE at ZStackLife.com to supercharge your immune system this cold and flu season. I have been following the plight of disabled American veteran Kenneth Harrelson for several months now. Harrelson was arrested in March of 2021 for his part on January 6th. The VA cut off his benefits 3 months ago at the urging of the Biden Justice Department, a month before Harrelson even went to trial. After spending 630 days in a DC jail under COVID lockdowns the entire time, the verdict is in. Harrelson was convicted on 3 of the 6 charges against him, but acquitted of the seditious conspiracy charge that the Justice Department cited to the VA as the reason for cutting his benefits. Angel Harrelson has not had her husband's income for 3 months. She has not seen her husband face-to-face since he was arrested over 630 days ago. Harrelson was denied bail and visitation. And now, the District of Columbia has filed a civil suit against Harrelson and others. Please help Angel Harrelson by donating at givesendgo.com/G22ZH. Until tomorrow, see this Pashem Parabellum.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back. I realize this sounds like a Sunday morning thing. It's supposed to be a history thing. This is stuff that's happening right before our eyes. Charles Baudelaire reminding us that, you know, the finest trick of the devil is to persuade you that he does not exist. The Faustian bargain, you know, the devil's gift is always an oxymoron, never really pays off. But, you know, we are notoriously short-sighted and impetuous. We don't want to work hard. Delayed gratification is a difficult thing. You read in Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith, as it's generally considered, that some of these folks that you read about, you know, they received the promise, but they did not see the fruition of it in their lifetime on earth. Man, that's That's devotion and dedication. And they believed, and their faith was credited to them as righteousness. Oswald Chambers, my utmost for his highest today, the discipline of dejection, citing Luke 24:21, but we trusted, and beside all this, today is the third day. Look, he said, and now, you know, what's going on? Well, what's the problem? Chambers writes, every fact that the disciples stated was right, but the inferences they drew from those facts were wrong. Anything that savors of dejection spiritually is always wrong. If depression and oppression visit me, I am to blame. God is not, nor is anyone else. That's an interesting thing to ponder. Dejection springs from one of two sources. I have either satisfied a lust or I have not. Lust means I must have it at once. Spiritual lust makes me demand an answer from God, instead of seeking God who gives the answer. Spiritual lust makes me demand an answer from God. This is the kind of petulant attitude that you see depicted in the media. All over the place, everyone is petulant. Everyone is overstepping and overreaching. Everyone's argumentative and combative, quarreling, and so on. Children do not respect their parents, their elders, let alone their parents, etc., etc. Everyone is overstepping their place and their authority. Spiritual lust makes me demand an answer from God instead of seeking God who gives the answer. What have I been trusting God would do? And today, the immediate present, is the third day, and he has not done it. Therefore, I imagine I am justified in being dejected and in blaming God. Whenever the insistence is on the point that God answers prayer, we are off the track. The meaning of prayer is that we get hold of God, not the answer. It is impossible to be well physically and to be dejected. Dejection is a sign of sickness, and the same thing is true spiritually. Dejection spiritually is wrong, and we are always to blame for it. We look for visions from heaven, for earthquakes and thunders of God's power. The fact that we are dejected proves that we do. And we never dream that all the time God is in the commonplace things and people around us. If we will do the duty that lies nearest, we shall see him. One of the most amazing revelations of God comes when we learn that it is in the commonplace things that the deity of Jesus Christ is realized. And I think, you know, there's a little bit of what you might call woo in there, but the point is nonetheless well-made and well-founded. And I think Chambers does a remarkable job regularly of underscoring the point that God come, the most amazing revelations of God come when we realize, or we learn, that it is in the commonplace things that the deity of Jesus Christ is realized. And that's where we should be focused. But it's so easy. Our tendency, we're sheep, and the blingy thing draws our attention. And so no wonder, if you're trying to captivate people and seduce and allure them away, you would use shiny, flashy things. It works. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? Stick around. We'll be right back.
A finger fired the trigger to his name. A handle hit out in the dark. A hand set the spark. Two eyes took the aim. Behind a man's brain. But he can't be blamed. He's only a pawn.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
which will conclusively prove George Soros' role in orchestrating the plandemic. But first, dear patriots, the truth train has brought us a conspiracy in our own backyard. Now, you may think you know the story.
Now, it's like I always say, there's a whole lot of bullshit out there. So I'd like to give Soros, Pelosi, the Zionists, the Mexican, the snowflakes,
Stay strong, truth tellers. Stay strong. Stay strong. And we'll rock till the break of dawn. This feels like heaven. Just you and me. This feels like heaven. Oh,
heaven. Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Carrie. Great product, and I will continue to use. I've been taking it for over a year now. I'm 60 and feel great. I would highly recommend this product to anyone over the age of 40. Amazon customer, 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. Extendivite has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Great product. I use regularly, and I rarely get sick. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Of course, this whole program is dedicated to the memory of Dr. Martin Luther King. You know that, anyway. Once upon this planet Earth lived a man of humble birth, preaching love and freedom for his fellow men. He was dreaming of the day peace would come to earth to stay, and he spread this message all across the land. Turn the other cheek, he'd plead. Love thy neighbor was his creed. Pain, humiliation, death, he did not dread. With his Bible at his side, from his foes he did not hide. It's hard to think that this great man is dead.
Welcome back. Bottom of the first hour. You know, it's fascinating. This is something that we'll have to come back to. We'll go to the phones here in a second, but it's fascinating, especially around the turn of the 20th century. I mean, you had Griffith's, whatchamacallit, the movie, you know. You know what I'm talking about. Birth of a Nation. And there was obviously propaganda was coming from somewhere to balkanize groups to foment tension and animosity between people groups. But there was also, you know, there was a vilification of many groups, and you could hear it in the language of the day. But I would say generally, you know, in a very general sense, there was an effort to vilify black people and Jews as well. But also, Nancy Eisenberg reminds us that there was this group of white people that is vilified, the white trash demographic, so-called. And it's fascinating to see how media and pop culture have been weaponized very effectively to get these groups fighting against each other. And it's interesting when, you know, from time to time, I think in the 60s, there were some moments where people were coming to their senses and no more fighting, you know, loving each other. I think, you know, when I think of Malcolm X and his final days, or Martin Luther King, it was less adversarial and more compassionate and more appealing to the empathy and compassion of one's fellow man. You know, Bobby Kennedy's speech, his eulogy, extemporaneous eulogy, when Martin Luther King was shot, I think is evidence of it. And it's interesting. There's that clip, I forget which documentary it is. I think it's the Bobby Kennedy assassination documentary, I want to say, where there's a gentleman in the 60s interviewed, and the man on the street reporter says, speaking of the assassination of all of these people, JFK, you know, Bobby Kennedy, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, and, you know, all of the other folks that we hear about. I mean, there's Medgar Evers, there's Fred Hampton. What happened to Khalid Muhammad? That's later. Did he really die of an aneurysm? Was it really natural causes? I don't think so. So many folks. Anyway, especially through the 60s, the man on the street reporter says, you know, what do you think about this? And the gentleman says, anytime someone stands up for, you know, the little guy or the poor man, seems like that's the end of him. Something to that effect. And it's an interesting thought. Dick Gregory, in one of his interviews, mentioned Marie Antoinette. And he asks, I think it's Mike who's interviewing him, what did she do? Basically, what was her undoing? And we hear, you know, the story that was apparently maybe invented by Jean-Jacques Rousseau. We don't know. It was a very Illuminized time in history. But as the story goes, it was let them eat cake. And so it's the same kind of concept. And Dick Gregory says that was her undoing. Although, you know, not everyone agrees. Folks like Omar Shabazz don't agree with Dick Gregory's assessment of exactly what went down in certain cases, but I think the point is valid. I think he makes a good point. Anyway, all of that's sort of a tangent. Back on track. Let's go to the phones and grab Fred in Iowa. Fred, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Oh, good morning, Chris.
Good morning, sir.
Yeah, just a short blast, and I'm going to get off. Okay, listen intently. I missed the first 17 minutes of your broadcast, but during that time, I went into the other room and turned on the propaganda box.
Mm-hmm.
They were berating Hitler and his fascist government and everything that he'd done. That is exactly what our Hitlerian fascist government here in the United States of America is doing right now and has been doing for 100 years. Hitler does not reside in the United States. This is his power, his army. Hitler resides in Rome, and it's my life's goal to expose the Hitler of the world. Mm-hmm. Other words, the devil works through an individual and an organization, and by the grace of God, and if that's what he wants me to do, I'm devoting my life to it. Thank you. Have a good day. Goodbye.
All right. Thank you, sir. Much appreciated, as always. Interesting, you know. So, speaking of the secret societies and the secret deals and secret proceedings and stuff, how about an excerpt that dovetails with what Fred said, but also the, speaking of Black history, you know, it's the, again, you know, the question was raised recently, what about this people group? We are all being weaponized, all being vilified and weaponized against each other. Like Dick Gregory said, if you can't pick up the phone and find out whether, you know, your stock is going up or down, or you can't call your, you know, U.S. senator or congressman and say, hey, I want this done, basically, you know, Mr. Smith goes to Washington kind of stuff, then you're not white folks. That's what Dick Gregory said. And I think that's an interesting observation, something to ponder. From Cooper's Behold a Pale Horse, secret societies in the New World Order. I'm sure that Fred will probably appreciate this. So I'm gonna see if we can just cut to the chase. There's a lot, but page. Gosh, where do we even start? Page 86, William Casey was the director of the CIA. He was a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. Casey was a Knight of Malta. He was head of Ronald Reagan's political campaign, head of the Securities and Exchange Commission during the Nixon administration. He was head of the Export-Import Bank. Skipping ahead, the Knights of Malta is a world organization with its threads weaving through business, banking, politics, the CIA, other intelligence organizations, P2, religion, education, law, military, think tanks, foundations, the United Nations, the United States Information Agency, USIA, the UN, and numerous other organizations. But, you know, people like what's his name? I can see his face. Oh gosh. Alan West says, you know, we're defending Christians in the homeland. All right. The world head of the Knights of Malta is elected for a life term with the approval of the Pope. The Knights of Malta have their own constitution and are sworn to work toward the establishment of a new world order with the Pope at its head. Knights of Malta members are also powerful members of the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission. Just ask Alan West. The Vatican has been infiltrated over many years by the Illuminati. This is easily proven by the fact that in 1738, Pope Clement XII issued a papal bull which stated that any Catholic who became a Mason would be excommunicated, a very serious punishment. In 1884, Pope Leo XIII issued a proclamation stating that Masonry was one of the secret societies attempting to, quote, revive the manners and customs of the pagans and, quote, establish Satan's kingdom on earth, end quote. Piers Compton, in his book The Broken Cross, traces the infiltration of the Catholic Church by the Illuminati. He has found the use of the all-seeing eye in the triangle by leading Catholics and by the Jesuits. It was used in the seal of the Philadelphia Eucharistic Congress in 1976. It was on a special issue of Vatican stamps in 1978, announcing the final Illuminati victory to the world. Mr. Compton claims that Pope John the 23rd wore the all-seeing eye in the triangle on his personal cross. Compton is adamant that several hundred leading Catholic priests, bishops, and cardinals are members of secret societies. He quotes an article in an Italian journal that lists more than 70 Vatican officials, including Pope Paul the sixth, private secretary, the director general of Vatican Radio, the Archbishop of Florence, the prelate of Milan, assistant editor of the Vatican newspaper, several Italian bishops, and the abbot of the Order of Saint Benedict. Those are only the ones that are known, and only the ones known in Italy. It is widely believed that this Pope, John Paul the 22nd, is a member of the Illuminati. And Cooper writes, I believe, according to my research, that it is true. The best indication of infiltration is that on November 27, 1983, the Pope retracted all of the papal bulls against Freemasonry and allowed Catholics, after several hundred years, to again become members of secret societies without fear of excommunication. The goal of the Illuminati is to elect one of their own to the papacy, appears to have come to fruition. If that is the case, the New World Order is just on the horizon. Now is the time. So, what was the title of Cooper's broadcast, The Hour of the Time? The first U.S. ambassador to the Vatican was William Wilson, a Knight of Malta. His appointment was probably illegal and, for a fact, was highly unethical. Wilson could not possibly have represented the U.S. when his allegiance was sworn to the Pope. Wilson, if you will remember, took an unauthorized trip to Libya and met privately with Libyan officials at a time when travel to Libya had been banned by the president. President Ronald Reagan had called Gaddafi a mad dog and made a few strong threats. The U.S. had been resolute in bombing Libya, even though civilians were killed. Following Wilson's trip, Gaddafi issued a press release stating that, quote, an American diplomat had been sent to reduce tensions with Libya. The State Department denied that any such thing had taken place. Ambassador Wilson closed his mouth and refused any comment. To this day, he has said nothing, even though his actions made a liar of the United States and embarrassed us worldwide. A clue to what was happening is the fact that while we had cut off Libya and even bombed them, and while travel by U.S. citizens to Libya was forbidden, five huge oil conglomerates were filling their pockets dealing with Gaddafi. One of the companies was headed by J. Peter Grace. Wasn't he the Mr. Grace Commission? Not a single penny goes to build a road or a school or... Oh, whoops, we're not supposed to focus on that. That was the wrong focal point. Sorry. Bad optics there. J. Peter Grace, president of W.R. Grace, you know, one of those generational, old-school, fraternal, power elite guys. Eight members of the W.R. Grace company are members of the Knights of Malta. According to an article by Leslie Geld in the New York Times, administration officials had expressed concern about Mr. Wilson's activities. These actions, they said, often seem to revolve around his contacts and interests in the oil business. That's funny because that sounds a lot like what Michael Rupert wrote in Crossing the Rubicon, too, about, you know, there's a lot of crossover. Again, we played, well, stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
A boy of 14 years got a taste of Southern law. He saw his friend a-hanging, his color was his crime, and the blood upon his jacket put a brand upon his mind. Too many martyrs and too many deaths, too many lies, too many empty words were said.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Listen, news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go in and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead, and when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Friend, you notice I was in a bad condition. Just the other day I saw a group of little children trying to ride a school bus. By them being of a different nationality, they weren't allowed to ride the bus. And I imagine you would ask them about this matter, they would have a word like this to say.
Why am I treated so bad?
so bad. You know I'm all alone as I sing this song. Hear my call, I've done nobody wrong, but I'm treated so bad.
Welcome back. So in the, we played the clip of Whitney Webb's interview yesterday. We played the clip of Whitney Webb's interview with Russell Brand. And, you know, her saying, when Russell Brand says, are you concerned? She says, well, yes and no. And she, you know, she articulated, but she mentioned Gary Webb and she mentioned Danny Casolaro. And then in the interview, her redacted interview, she mentioned Sullivan and Cromwell, for example, you know, as an intelligent front, an intelligence front, when she was talking to Clayton Morris on Redacted. And, you know, some things don't change. I mean, look at the role of Palantir, for example, and Peter Thiel with Sullivan Cromwell. He's big tech. He's, you know, one of the Stanford Silicon Valley darlings. He and guys like Reid Hoffman are the new class of these folks. And so, you know, guys like Michael Rupert wrote about this. Guys like Bill Cooper wrote about this. It's not just intelligence. It's the economic stuff. So what's the point of that? What are you trying to say? It's particularly devilish. And here is an example. So the way that Michael Rupert put it that always sticks in my mind, it's clear, you know, he talks about the deal with Dresser and Halliburton, Brown & Root, all of that stuff. And he says, it's clear that everywhere there is oil, there is Brown & Root. But increasingly, everywhere there is war and or insurrection, there is Brown & Root also. And Revelation chapter 18 is a particular picture. You know, Mystery Babylon, the kings of the earth, the mighty men, et cetera, who were led astray by your sorcery, pharmakia in particular. But there is a big clue in Ezekiel 28 to what I'm getting at. And why, like Whitney Webb says, the sex crimes of Jeffrey Epstein are the focal point, but the economic crimes we're not supposed to focus on. There's a reason for that. You get to the heart of the matter very quickly. Second hour coming up. Stick around. I'll be right back after this short break.
Why I sing the blues? Well, I've been around a long time. I really have paid my dues. When I first got the blues, they brought me over on a ship. Men were standing over me, and a lot more with the whip, man. Everybody wanna know.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.